This is NPR.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Well, the date has been set. The invitation's mailed. Now the White House just has to wait and see who shows up to the Middle East Peace Conference it's hosting in Annapolis, Maryland next week. Yesterday, the Bush administration said publicly it sent 40 formal invites to countries, but key participants like Saudi Arabia and Syria have yet to commit. NPR's Michelle Kellerman has more.
President Bush is to open the conference on Tuesday with a speech and plans to have separate meetings with the Israeli and Palestinian leaders at the White House the day before and after. Assistant Secretary of State David Welch went through a long list of invitees, from UN Security Council members to key Arab states, including Saudi Arabia.
We're hopeful and expectant that Arab countries will participate because this is a serious effort.
An effort to formally relaunch final status peace talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians, something the Arab states have been encouraging the Bush administration to do. Expectations for Annapolis, though, are low.
That was NPR's Michelle Kellerman reporting. Prosecutors today urged a UN tribunal to deny bail to one of the top former leaders of the Khmer Rouge, the military regime that waged genocide on the Cambodian people in the 1970s. Gan Kek Eo, also known as Duk, was in charge of the regime's largest torture center. He is the first person to appear before the UN tribunal on the Cambodian genocide, during which an estimated 1.7 million people were killed. Prosecutors argued that Duk is a flight risk and a public threat who should be kept behind bars. The tribunal will begin trying former Khmer Rouge leaders early next year. Bangladesh is pleading for more international aid to help deal with the devastation caused by the cyclone that hit that country late last week. Officials there say relief centers are overburdened and emergency supplies of food, water, and medicine are stretched thin. Meanwhile, the health ministry says it's opened a special department to deal with reports of a diarrhea outbreak. Reports say at least two children have died of diarrhea in one of the areas hardest hit by the cyclone. At least 3,000 storm-related deaths have been confirmed. Officials say that number could rise to as high as 10,000 as recovery efforts continue. Finally, Cuba has set a date for national elections, and the big question, will Fidel Castro put his name on the ballot? The ruling, which was read on national television, sets January 20th as the poll date for provincial and national assemblies. And while there was no explicit mention of Fidel Castro, the ailing 81-year-old Cuban leader would have to be re-elected to the national parliament before he could serve again as president. Analysts say if Castro doesn't put his name on the ballot, it will mean he's effectively resigning. The January poll will come almost 18 months after Fidel stepped aside because of health problems and handed power over to his younger brother, Raul. That's the news, and it's always online at npr.org.
This is NPR.
My prediction, they'll print up all the ballots and they'll say Fidel, and the last minute they'll scribble them out and put Raul. They'll make the decision at the last second.
That nice Castro boy. Let's elect him.
One of those Castro kids.
One of them.
Rachel, thank you so much.
You're welcome.